How are you? It's me, Lillian. Welcome to Being Mindful. I'm Lillian Larty, and I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, Reverend Pastor Deji. He's looking at me like, what? Being Mindful is our regular broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, welcome. And this is where we discuss our topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted by certain types of concerns as Christians. As always, during the show, we would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch regarding today's topic. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us using the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. We'd love to hear from you. And equally, if you're on social media, please do contact us directly as well, especially if you are on, it is Twitter, as far as I'm concerned, but it's X now, or Instagram, Facebook. Use the handle at PHBC London, and any message you send during the show will come directly to us in the studio. So let's get started. Okay, as in our normal fashion, we talk about what's on our minds. So Rev, what's on your mind?
What is on my mind? What's on my mind? I'm not sure if I did this the last show. Talking about what was on my mind. What was on my mind was weather related.
Yes.
And today, what's on my mind is weather related.
Okay.
Again, because, I mean, I don't know, you know, if those of you who live in the UK, especially those of you who live in London, I don't know what last night was like for you, but that storm Isha that was just blowing. I mean, I was watching the news earlier today and planes were flying sideways. It was dodgy. You know, a bunch of people were flying from Manchester to Belfast. And initially as they got to Belfast, they tried to land. They had to go around the second time. They were like, no, we have to return to Manchester. And then as they nearly got to Manchester, Manchester was like, sorry, you can't come here. And then they said, oh, they're going to take them to Gatwick. And then Gatwick was like, I'm sorry, you can't come here.
Oh my goodness.
They left Manchester going to Belfast and ended up in Paris.
No.
Yes. In Paris. We had our wheelie bin at the end of the, you know, the recycling paper. There was paper everywhere in the garden.
Oh no.
And the bin was trying to escape. The bin was trying to get to Peckham or something.
Oh my God. It was, you know.
And that's one thing. But today just feels like spring.
Uh-huh.
We're in January.
Spring. Okay. Okay. It's your winter to me.
Yeah. Well, today felt like spring from me. and I respect that. You know, yes. I'm things are a little bit different for me. Okay, yes. But today really felt like spring.
Uh-huh.
No, enough now. Can we have one or the other? You know, let's have winter or let's have spring.
Well, we're in the UK, aren't we? So we get like four seasons in one day.
Yeah. It's probably going to snow in June.
Yes. Well, you know, I remember one time it snowed in May. This was years and years ago. And me and a friend, we were coming back from our Saturday jobs. And Croydon, it just turned dark. This was around, I don't know, 4 PM.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned dark. And then all of a sudden, we just saw these white things just coming down, which was a mixture of snow and sleet. And
wow.
Everyone was like, oh my goodness, this is May, what's happening? So yes, it wouldn't surprise me.
So yeah, that's what's on my mind is what's going on with this weather? What's going on? First, the wind wants to blow us away. Uh-huh. You know, we're like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. And then it's warming up, you know.
Pastor, I don't think, well, it is okay. The temperature has increased slightly. It's still a cold wind. I'm still in my winter woolies, my winter gear. Yeah, it's not spring to me yet.
I shouldn't be calling it warming up, huh?
No.
Well, okay, fair enough. So what's on your mind, Lillian?
What's on my mind is yesterday, the baptisms. We had 4+1. Which was really, really interesting.
What does that mean, 4+1? Well, I mean, I was here, but, you know, for those who weren't.
Oh, okay. So for those of you who weren't at baptism, we had 4 candidates who were going through for the baptismal ceremony, and they all did their baptisms. And then Pastor put the invitation out to anyone in the congregation who wanted to be baptized. And nobody came forward. So Pastor and Pastor Manuela got out the pool, pulled the plug, off they went. And then the next thing we see, Pastor's coming back into the sanctuary, still in his baptismal uniform. He gets in the pool. And everyone's like, "Hey, what's going on here? Is Pastor going to have a bath?" And then Pastor said, "Someone said that they wanted to get baptized." So we're like, "Ooh, yes, exciting." So that's why I say 4+1.
Indeed. It was thoroughly exciting.
It was good to see, like you say, the range of people who decided that, you know what, taking my life seriously with Christ, going to get baptized. And just the test, it's the testimonials that get me.
Yes,
you know, listeners, if you weren't in the sanctuary and if you missed yesterday's service for whatever reason, watch it on the YouTube channel or on the PHBC app. Watch the replay, please, because, you know, just hearing people's testimonies of how they came about, firstly, to Christ, how they came to know Christ, and their decision to be baptized and, you know, take their walk with Christ to another level. It's just, for me, especially from young people, it's just phenomenal. When I was listening to the testimonies, I was like, imagine if we had 100 young people.
Ooh.
How much change that can make their generation in terms of all that's going on in the streets that we hear about, you know. There would be a revival. We would start to see revival on our street and in our community. So, yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
And thank you for saying that. For me, exactly the same. I was really excited. I was thoroughly excited. First, it was 1, then it was 2, then it was 3 and 4 that came, and we thought, "Oh, great, 4 people to be baptized, fantastic! We're just going to have a great time. We're going to worship. We're going to, you know, hear these testimonies," and that was fine. And it was even just the 4 was fantastic.
Mm.
Just the 4, it was just. One can't help but be moved when you're seeing people responding to God that way and saying, "You know what? I want to stand up and stand out. I want to be that person. I want to be that." You know, and that was wonderful. And then that young lady who just I mean, they came to knock on my door. I was about to start taking my wet clothes off. Uh-huh. I was just toweling myself dry, and they said, "Wait! Come back!" And I was like, "What?" They said, "Somebody wants to get baptized right here, right now." You know, and it's popularly known or referred to as a eunuch baptism.
Oh.
Because, you know, remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way and he said, "Hey, there's water here. You know, baptize me now." Yeah. You know, I mean, he didn't need baptism classes. He believed and was like, "Let's go. Let's do this."
Uh-huh.
And so I'm really, really encouraged by that. Really thoroughly encouraged. I said to somebody, "That's church."
Yes.
You know, that's definitely church.
And I think also what makes a difference is when people recognize and realize that the support that they have around them in the walk, because that's important as well. You know, after you get baptized, having that support still to carry on with that Christian walk, because it is on another level, you know. And and that's where I remember when I got baptized, and it's like, wow, I'm like a proper Christian now. So and then I have to behave myself when I go to the shops and things like that.
Yes, yes. You can't punch people in the nose anymore.
Hit it.
Okay, no, I was kidding. In case people are thinking, what? What kind of church
is
that?
No. That's not us. No.
No.
But yeah, it was great. It was good. Yeah. So that was what was on my mind.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And you know, there's a line in Habakkuk, or a couple of verses in Habakkuk where Habakkuk's a book in the Bible, one of the books in the Bible. In case you don't know,
mm-hmm.
and the book of Habakkuk, I believe it's chapter 3, I believe, the beginning of chapter 3, where he says, you know, God, we've heard of your fame. You are the famous God. We've heard of these great deeds, these awesome things that you've done. We've heard of these things. You know, do them again for us to see. Do them in our day, he says. Do them in our time.
Mm.
You know, we don't want to be the ones that speak of the things we've heard of God.
Mm.
We want to be the people that speak of the things we've seen of God.
Mm.
And it was saying, do them again in our day.
Mm.
And I feel very, very honored, very privileged to be amongst those that are witnessing this move of God in the lives and hearts of people.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic personally.
It is.
Yeah.
And I was speaking with someone as well after, and they were saying, I remember when I got baptized years ago. You could see that they were kind of thinking, you know what? I'd like to do it again. And I'm sure at some point I will do it again. I'm sure Yeah. Okay.
Well, I tell you what, before we go to today's topic, or should we just mention today's topic? And then while people are thinking, we take it. Yeah.
Yes.
What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about managing your emotions.
Okay.
Our emotional health, our emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects us all as humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's all you're going to give, right?
That's all I'm giving at the moment.
Managing our emotions. We'd love to hear from you, of course.
Yes.
You know,
do you ever get emotional?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, let us know. Do you suffer with road rage or, you know, can't even get my words
being
out.
Hangry.
Hangry.
Yes, being hangry.
That's when you're hungry and angry at the same time. So do you suffer with anxiety maybe, or experience depression or worry or fear most of the time? Are you stressed? Are you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Even? Are you calm? Mm-hmm. Do you experience peace most of the time? Or do you, you know, you've never experienced these things? Let us know via the PHBC Radio app, or if you're on social media, use the handle at PHBC London. We would love to know.
So just before we get into it, I think because we've been talking about baptisms and people, you know, being coming into this new life in Christ, let's listen to this piece of music, a little bit different from the, there's no jazz today, folks. There's no jazz today. Those of you who were on the show last time, anyway, there's no jazz today. So, I'm not down.
We have a new genre in the house. Yeah,
I'm not down. I'm not sad about that, but there's no jazz today. I'm just making a statement. So this particular track is OM53 and it is called Found the Light.
When you came, you wrapped your
That was Found the Light by OM53 from their album Defender, released in the year 2020. Defender, yeah. Certainly, OM53, certainly a band worth listening to. Listen out for more of these on PHBC Radio. If that's the kind of
Lillian's excited.
If that's the sort of thing you're into, that sort of genre you're into. PHBC Radio plays an eclectic variety anyway. Oh, so yeah, good. So. Let's get to the show. We're talking about managing our emotions.
Yes, there's a lot to cover. So it's actually going to be a part one and a part two. So, so what are emotions? What are our emotions?
Mm.
Because there's so much out there in terms of when it comes to health and when it comes to our mental well-being. I mean, we're in an era now where I would say, thanks to the pandemic, that what's come to the forefront a lot is the openness of talking about mental health.
Yes.
But we are still not being open about talking about emotional health, which is closely related to our mental health and well-being as well. So we thought we'd bring up this topic because it is essential. And as we know, since the pandemic, there's been an increase of the number of people who have and still are experiencing anxiety as a result of the pandemic. Sadly, they tend to accommodate feelings like anxiety, depression with mental health or mental illness. It's actually more in the emotional range. Because it is an emotion, it's a feeling.
Yes.
So so that's what we're going to discuss today. So tell your friends, tell them to listen in now. Again, if you're on our social media, use the at PHBC London. Let us know, do you or have you ever experienced any emotional state for a period of time, such as anxiety, depression, worry, or maybe fear? And likewise, if you're on listening via the PHBC Radio app, let us know. Contact us using the contact the studio button and the message will come straight through to us. So what are emotions? Pastor, what would you say emotions are?
Our emotions are the feelings, the things that we experience. Our emotions are an internal expression of, typically based on something that's happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, or stuff that's going on around us or what we perceive. It could include things like happiness, sadness, anger, rage, depression.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would define emotions.
Mm. Yes, exactly that. You know, their feelings, they can result as an expression of what we're thinking, or even of our unconscious beliefs. Oftentimes we have beliefs about certain things. For example, I don't know whether anyone or whether you, Pastor, watch Celebrity Jungle, Get Me Out of Here, where they have to do certain activities to, well, it's in effect conquer their fears.
Mm.
So there are some celebrities who are, they have this fear of snakes, they have fear of rats, they have fear of heights, etc., etc. And whereas there are certain people who would say, oh, no, I don't think that's scary. I can pretty much stay underground in a tank for 5 minutes with snakes crawling all over me and not flinch, you know. And for some people, when you ask them if they have a fear and you ask them, well, where did that fear come from? They just don't know. They Indeed. Don't know,
yeah,
but it's yeah. it can be based on a subconscious belief about a certain thing. So sometimes it's not clear cut as to where our feelings or emotions are. And emotions can be divided into different segments. So we can look at healthy emotions. We can look at unhealthy or toxic emotions.
Yes.
So healthy emotions such as what you mentioned, Pastor, love, joy, peace, happiness, gratitude, appreciation, optimism, These type of emotions make us feel lovely and great and, you know, just in that realm of, yeah, all is well in my world, you know.
Yes.
It makes us feel light.
Yes.
And then you've got the unhealthy or what can also be known as the toxic emotions, such as fear, anger, bitterness, depression, hate, sorrow, worry, unforgiveness, hurt, anxiety, jealousy, stress. These are what we call low density emotions. So they really can bring you down. They can bring your mood down. Yes, they can make you feel heavy in your body.
Indeed.
Can make you feel like you just don't want to face the world. You don't even want to get out of bed type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for us to discern the different categories where emotions can sit.
I think you're absolutely right. and here's the thing. Too often, the thing about emotions is they can be very subtle.
Mm.
You know, we're joyful. And then the next thing we know, we're yelling at the guy at the traffic lights. Mm. And we didn't realize how we slid down there.
Mm.
And particularly when they're emotions we become used to.
Mm.
Emotions that we've entertained, that we've allowed. And I want to just also clarify something. We talked about the low-density emotions, the toxic emotions, the negative emotions.
Mm.
I think that sometimes the positive emotions can also get us into trouble.
Mm, it's true.
Because there's a time and a place to be exhibiting joy. There's a time and a place to be happy.
Mm.
There's a time and a place. And sometimes the way the mind works and the what are known as defense mechanisms that the mind puts into place, we suddenly want to force ourselves to be happy at a time where we should be sitting with some of those sad emotions or the so-called negative or low-density emotions.
Mm.
You know, but we then force ourselves to do the opposite because we don't want to confront what we're feeling, you know. So again, we'll talk about, I mean, the title today is Managing Our Emotions. We'll talk about, you know, that possibly in part two even. I don't know if we'll have enough time for it today. So I just wanted to sort of just throw that out there at the moment that when we look at the so-called positives and the so-called negatives, sometimes the positives can be negative and sometimes the negative can be positive.
Mm.
Because when we sit with our emotions, it helps us to get into a stronger place in understanding who we are and what we're experiencing.
Mm.
And when we're in a stronger place, we're in more control than when we're simply trying to gravitate in one direction or the other.
Yeah, exactly. I see that quite commonly with people who have gone through a negative experience, such as abuse, or they've been really hurt by somebody, and they can suppress that emotion and carry on like, no, everything's fine, I'm all right, and put a mask on in front in the public, and then maybe behind the scenes, that's when they drop into that low state.
Yeah.
I've done that myself. And it's not a great way to manage your emotions at all. Equally, like what you mentioned, that, you know, one minute you can be joyous and happy and the next minute you're sliding into anger or rage or something.
Mm.
And for some people, they can be at the mercy of their emotions, where they have no sense of regulation.
Yeah.
And they literally go with wherever their emotions take them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
So that can be equally as dangerous as well.
I think to a degree, just what you said, I think to a degree, we all at one point or another do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think particularly in our younger years, particularly as children, children are very, very good at, you know, at literally just... you know, behaving like they got
experience emotions, all of them, in a matter of minutes.
You're talking minutes. No, we're talking, I mean, you know, it's almost like multiple personality situation, you know, where the child is crying one literally in that second, and you'll say, but you know, we're going to Disneyland. Disneyland? It's just like, sorry, I thought you were crying just then, you know. So I think that, particularly in our younger years, whether that be chronologically younger or emotionally younger, in our younger years, it's easy to be tossed with every wind in that regard and moved around and really fluctuate, you know, very quickly and easily between the emotions without any thought or understanding.
And it's interesting that you say about emotionally younger, because I remember working with one man. This was when I worked in retail, and whenever a customer would come in and complain or have a go at him or whatever, he would instantly run into his office and slam the door. Wow. All you hear was slam, 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 things like that, and then quiet. And then the man would be like in a sulk, you know. And after a while, we just thought, what's going on here? And not knowing that he had his childhood, how he was brought up. His parents had shipped him off to boarding school. You know, didn't have a good relationship with his parents. And he was basically taught, you know, at school he had to grow up, you know. Was bullied a lot as well. So he didn't really get that teaching on how to regulate his emotions. So, it was quite interesting to watch sometimes, but painful as well sometimes. It was like, okay. Anyway, oftentimes we can suppress the emotions, and those emotions can be unprocessed, which is equally as dangerous, because at times if they're suppressed, if we're trying to hold something down, it can spring up just like that unexpectedly. And someone could say something, it can feel like a trigger, and then the next thing you're having a go at somebody, or you're running away, or you're just not communicating in an authentic way, and you know it, or you may say something that comes out in a negative, hurtful way. And you think, oh, you know, that's not like me, or someone might look at you and think, that's not like you, why did that come out? And sometimes if we've got emotions that are suppressed and they're unprocessed, then, they can spring up when you least expect them. And equally, if you're carrying destructive beliefs and feelings around with you, and this can be for years, you know, which often stems from, you know, someone's done you wrong in the past and you're still carrying that with you and you haven't expressed it or released it, then that can become destructive as well.
I think you've touched on something here, because a lot of the time, obviously, you know some of my background. A lot of the time, when I've worked with people who are experiencing this sort of thing, a lot of the time, when you look at it, when you really explore and sit with the issues, you realize that there's a thread that runs right back, like the chap you were just mentioning now. There's a thread that runs right back to childhood. So those destructive words, you know, scripture tells us faith comes by hearing. Somebody said, "Oh, doubt also comes by hearing." I want to change that. It's also faith. It's just faith in the wrong thing. Faith, that lockdown belief system. So when somebody's language, their words, I don't want to repeat it because I don't know what tender ears may or may not be on the show today. But you know, when people are, you know, put down language, and often is throwaway comments. Someone like you, you know, a child came third in a test and says, "Oh, what's wrong with first and second? Why can't you be first? Why can't you?" And it's this and much worse language that often, too often, parents have used. And they've used in a throwaway manner. And they've used as a joke and they've used as a tease. But faith comes by hearing. The more we hear something, the more we will believe it. The more we'll accept it. The more it becomes ingrained, the more it becomes who we are. As exactly as you're saying, a lot of these issues around negative thoughts and even the opposite direction around the positive thoughts, you know, it a lot of it tracks back to our past. You know, the seeds that have been sown in our childhood, we're reaping that fruit in our adulthood.
And you know, it's something that can be turned around if you find that you're often defaulting to certain emotions. I remember when I used to always default to worry. When I woke up in the morning, first thing, I'm worried about something, you know. And I used to pride myself on worrying.
What do you mean by that?
I used to say, oh, yeah, I'm a worrier, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, because it made me feel like it's something to do. Yeah.
Ah, I see, yes.
And so
yes.
It wasn't until I learned that, no, worrying is actually doing me damage, which we'll speak about maybe in the next show.
It's got to be a next show.
Yeah. That I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to get a grip on this, you know.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I utilized some strategies to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But first thing in the morning, worry, anything that I could worry about, even if it was worrying for other people, I would do that.
One of my sayings concerning worry that I love to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you cannot help worrying, remember that worrying cannot help you.
Yeah.
You know, I love to say that.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot help worrying, remember that worrying cannot help you.
That's so true. You know,
and I think that it's not about saying to someone, stop worrying.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Because that does, you know.
Yeah.
It's like saying, honestly, it's like saying to somebody, calm down.
Mm.
In the history of telling people to calm down,
oh my goodness, that just nobody's irritates me.
Nobody's ever calmed down.
Calm down.
So it's it's about addressing the issue rather than just telling them to stop.
Exactly. You know? Oh my goodness.
I think it's good to lay a bit of a foundation,
mm-hmm,
before we get into the core topic of managing
how
to manage our emotions. But let's listen to some music.
Yes.
We've done a little bit of talking, just laying that foundation. There's no way we're going to deal with all of these issues, before the next show. Let's go off and listen to some music again, different genre to what we usually have. Lillian's dancing already. You can hear the squeals of joy. That's her emotion that she's expressing right now. And this track is called Enough by Sharon.
Separate us. I know through the ups and downs you care for me. I'm more enough, 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 enough. Enough, 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 enough. Your love is enough for me, Lord. You provide my daily supply. Your grace is enough for me. I will rejoice. I lift up my voice. I will smoke gladly in my weakness. Cause your love is all I need. It's enough for me. Your love is enough for me. Lord, you provide my daily supply. Your grace is enough for me. I will rejoice. I'll lift up my voice. I will smoke gladly in my weakness. Cause your love is all I need. It's enough for me.
Your love is enough for me. And that's Shireen. She's a one really wonderfully gifted singer-songwriter. She's actually London-based. Yes. And her part of her objective through her music is to share the gospel and be daring, creative, immersive.
Praise
as
God.
She does so. That's her dream. That's Shireen here on PHBC Radio. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Mindful Show, where we deal with issues or discuss issues pertaining to our quality of life as Christians. Today's show is on managing our emotions. And before we listen to that wonderful piece of music, we were talking, just laying a little bit of a foundation as to what emotions are, the sorts of the positives, the negatives, the low density emotions, the happy ones, the sad ones, and looking at ways in which some of these emotions are formed, and how where they come from often, particularly emotions that we hold to on a regular basis. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're not going to be able to cover it all today. Save the date in your diary. Being mindful, the next show is on the 12th of February. 12th of February, 12/02/24. Or 12/02/24. Look at that.
12/02.
Yeah, okay. Yes. The 12th of February. So save that date. That's the next Being Mindful show. And we will absolutely continue this topic then. So, Lillian, where were we?
So we were talking about different, you know, what are emotions, our experience of emotions. Actually, have you had any experience of any long-term low emotion, Rev?
Any experience of long-term emotion?
Yeah, long-term low emotions. Or emotional ill health.
The direct answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did. I went through a season in my life. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned this once on the show, probably over a year ago, or a year and a half ago, something like that. I don't know. I went through a period of really, 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 this was more than low mood.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people will know this, but it was more than low mood. I ended up going to the GP and I ended up being prescribed some medication, which I did not take as it happens. I cannot put my finger on the specific reason why I didn't take get the medication. I still have the prescription to this day.
Wow.
It's a very, very well-known drug.
Mm-hmm.
It's for treating depression,
mm-hmm.
and very, very well-known worldwide. And it wasn't one of those, because the Lord said, you know, I heard this booming voice from heaven, my son, taketh not thou the drug.
Mm-hmm.
No. Maybe I was just too sad, too down, too low to go to the pharmacy. I was just, caught up in those emotions. And it is purely by the grace of God that I came through, because that's what I believe. You know, the grace of God comes, the prayer, healing, the right people around you. Do you understand? And you, it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, I said to somebody, we were talking about the late, great Catherine Coleman, who famously said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. You know, and so I believed in God. I had people believing in God, people around me. My support system, you know, rose up around me, and I think that helped. But the direct answer to your question is yes. And I know it can be, for a lot of people, a very dark, debilitating, you know, paralyzing valley that people go through. And because I've seen that valley myself.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Pastor. I too have had experience of long-term low emotional state. For me, it was depression, anxiety, from about age 18 through to 40. So that was, it was on and off. So it happened in waves, but it was consistent enough to realize that, you know, that people started, I say people, certain individuals started to associate me as being that person. So because I was in that emotional state most of the time, it was said that, well, this is how she is, you know, rather than investigating, well, why is she like that, you know? And there was a number of reasons, including being on the contraceptive pill, which is well known now. It's well known that it can interfere with our hormonal state as women. And for me, food intolerances that I didn't recognize at the time, and as well as traumas from a young age as well. So like you, I had support in terms of prayer, but it takes time as well.
Exactly, exactly.
And I remember reading books, trying to find books and read, and like, just, I just wanted to be out of my head, you know, and I just wanted to be happy, you know. And I remember when, because I became born again in my 20s, and in my, the first Bible that I got for myself, my big, big Bible.
There's always a big one.
Isn't it? I wrote at the front, that I think I put, I came to Christ because I wanted to be a good person, because I'd always been told that I wasn't good. So for me, the solution was Christ. You know, if anyone was going to help me, it's got to be Christ. It's got to be God. So so that's one way we can help to manage our emotions, is by crying out to God, is by surrounding yourself with understanding Christians who will help and support you along the journey of managing your emotions, especially if you're experiencing things like anxiety, hurt, when it comes to things like unforgiveness and you're really struggling to release that.
Yeah.
You know, buddy up with someone, a good Christian who is going to be understanding, give you a listening ear, and pray alongside you as well. And it's not just just pray. Go into the scriptures as well, you know. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it all comes under love. But they're in different little categories. But those, when you look at them, they're actually emotions.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And the more we tap into and have that solid relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit can cultivate that fruit in us.
You know, you touched on spot on two things that I was thinking about. I was thinking about Galatians 5, the fruit, not the fruits, plural, the fruit singular of the Spirit. But before we do that, I was. You said something. You said, you know, someone you can buddy up with, a good Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's the key issue, is having the right people. It's not just having people around you, having the right people around you. Sometimes that's harder than it seems.
It is, yeah.
Because if we're surrounded by people who know no different, what do we do? But having the right people around us is really critical. And I would counsel you, you know, if you're listening, if you're on the show right now and maybe you've experienced some of this, let us know your own experience. Yes. You know, have you had sustained periods of low mood, you know, and low emotion? Mm. You know, and what helped you? What helped you come out of that? Just ping us, you know, the usual bits. You can use the PHBC Radio app. You can ping us on social media. You can send an email. And we are checking the emails. I have to say, last show, somebody sent an email and we didn't see it till after we'd finished. But we are checking the emails. We're live on it now. But it's critical to have the right person. And it's important that you seek out. And if you're not getting, you know, I think sometimes, you know, egos are involved here. Mm. You know, for me as a pastor, people will come to me and they'll ask me a question. I don't have all the answers. Mm. You know, I'm not God. I don't have all the answers. And sometimes the best thing a person can do for you is to say, I don't know, but I will help you find the answer. I'll help you find someone. Mm. You know, and it's really, really important that you don't just stick with that person because, you know, out of loyalty. Mm. They're your friend, your cousin, they're your buddy, they're your pastor, you know, your mom, your sister. Mm. Don't just stick with them.
Mm.
Find the right person to buddy up with.
Mm.
And then to the scriptures, you know, no matter who you're buddying up with, you know, so I know someone who says, no, I don't talk to people. I only talk to God.
Mm.
Yeah. About that. God ain't going to come from heaven and hand you a tissue when you're crying.
Exactly.
That's what he sent people to do.
Mm.
So it is really important that you recognize that even the people are instruments in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's just put things into their right context here. But the scriptures overall, overarching, and I love that you pointed to Galatians 5 because I think that's a really powerful reference for us.
Mm.
You know, it's a powerful scripture that we can refer to, that we can draw from in seeing what is God's desire for us.
Mm-hmm.
What is God's desire where it relates to our emotional state of being?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is, and we'll talk about other scriptures as we certainly on the next show, at least.
But for now, you can meditate on Galatians 5, 20, is it 23? You know, just look at the fruit of the Spirit and meditate on them. And any of the emotions there, or I call them emotions, the fruit of the Spirit. Any of those that you think, because I remember looking at them and I was like, Lord, I'm far from this. I am far from it, you know. And I remember praying over the scripture and saying, you know, Holy Spirit, fill me with love. Holy Spirit, fill me with kindness. Holy Spirit, fill me with gentleness, self-control, you know, because another thing that I experienced was a lot of anger as well, a lot of anger and frustration. And I didn't know when I was going to get angry. So for me, self-control was really essential. And I was like, Lord, I've got no self-control, you know, and then being told that, well, you're not patient and et cetera, et cetera. So I'd be praying, Lord, fill me with patience, you know.
I mean, one very, very important, when it concerns managing our emotions, and we've alluded to it in various points today, but I think it's worth mentioning, is self-regulation.
Mm.
But you cannot have self-regulation without self-awareness.
Yes. Yes.
You see.
Awareness is key.
Because if you are clueless about who you are, you won't know. You the more clueless you are about who you are, the more clueless you are about what your triggers are, the more clueless you are about how you're going to react and respond.
Mm.
And reacting is not the same as responding. How you're going to react and respond to various things and situations that come.
Yeah.
The more clueless you are when you do react or when you do, you know, lose your rag or get angry or get upset or raise your voice or snap at someone or you know come across a bit passive aggressive or whatever technique it is you need to do to push away that stuff, because they're all techniques, they're all self-preservation techniques. Upon reflection, the less self-aware you are, the less you understand yourself, the worse you're going to feel.
Yeah.
Because you'll suddenly start feeling, oh my goodness, I lost my temper. I got angry. I'm guilty. Oh, I must never be that way. Because you don't understand that there is such a thing as, and I'm going to use this phrase, healthy anger.
Mm.
You know, there is such a thing, you know, as healthy anger. Mm. There's, you know, angry at injustice, angry at, you know, at bad behavior, angry at, there are things we should be angry about. And anger is one of those emotions and it's okay to have.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really important that we are self-aware so that we can self-regulate.
And in fact, awareness is, according to emotional regulation, is one of the first steps is awareness, realizing, that, you know, you have emotions. We're not emotionless, you know, because if you try to be emotionless, then there's something wrong. You know, you'd be, I don't know, an AI robot or something like that.
Yes, a piece of wood.
Yes, of wood. and then step two in emotional regulation is selection. So choosing how you want to, like you mentioned, respond. What emotion do you want to display? And come up, you know, if you know that most times that you, for example, you experience a lot of anger or bitterness, instead of knowing what your normal response is in that mode, how would you want to respond? And I remember for me, as part of my healing process, having to visualize how I wanted to show up, how I was going to respond. So if I knew I was going to go somewhere that was likely to trigger me, then I would be visualizing beforehand, okay, if such and such says this, or if this happens, I want to respond this way, you know.
Your conditionals, your if-thens.
Which is a great setup for you if you know that you're lacking in self-control.
And even honestly, if you know you're lacking in self-control, but even if you don't believe you're lacking in self-control, hey, do it anyway.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
The gym isn't just for people who are overweight. Exercise isn't just for people who have health issues.
Exactly.
It's for all.
For everyone.
So do it anyway. Practice it. It's good. It's healthy. It's good practice. Because the more you practice, the more you'll understand, the more confident you'll feel, the more confident you feel, the safer you will feel, and the safer you will be, the safer the people around you will be, you know, and then that way you're not a victim of your own emotions.
Yeah.
You're not a victim to the feelings. You're not enslaved by the feelings.
You're not at the mercy of
That's the phrase I was specific. Being at the mercy of our feelings. And I think, you know, it is important for us to self-regulate, be self-aware, you know, start to think about and rehearse in our minds. If this happens, then I'm going to try and do this. If that happens, then I'm going to try and do that.
Mm.
And just have that in our minds as a prepared response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've talked about, I think that's it. You know, just that self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? In this sorts of situations, how do I normally react and respond?
Mm.
And what would I prefer as an outcome?
Mm. Yeah. And then step three is interpretation, choosing how you want to interpret a situation. Because sometimes we can interpret situations incorrectly and think, oh, it's aimed at me, whereas it's not. So we've got to be careful of that. And then, as we've mentioned before, about response, you know, how are we going to respond, especially in highly emotionally charged situations such as grief? You know, you go to a funeral. People are going to be, you know, they can be highly charged, you know, sensitive around certain things, you know, individuals who are maybe sensitive to their environment can be easily triggered and feel anxious and go into a panic attack, you know. So it's knowing how to respond appropriately. So we're going to leave you with those keys for now. In terms of being able to do that as your growth work. Yes, your growth work around your emotions.
Not homework, growth work.
Growth work.
Yes. I love that phrase, your growth work. And I think again, as we've both agreed here, and I'm sure those of you listening will also agree, you know, this is good practice. This is good emotional exercise. This is good for us to do. It doesn't matter whether you are enslaved, trapped at the mercy of negative feelings, negative emotions. It's good practice to I was going to say it's good practice to practice, I suppose.
Yes, it takes practice.
Indeed. Yes. They say practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect, full stop. So practicing the wrong thing will also make you perfectly wrong.
Yes.
So start practicing the right things, you know. And I think that's really important. So, gosh.
We've reached the end. That's gone quick.
It has flown by. So what emotion are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling joy. because my music was played. Yay!
Not just jazz this week, huh?
And we're having more dance trance next week, aren't we?
Oh, my goodness.
Should I say, on the next show. Because we're going to be back on the 12th of February.
That's right.
So, you know, if you need to listen to this again, this episode again, keep listening to it. We're going to come with part two with more in-depth practical solutions that you can use to help you manage your emotions.
So thank you for joining us on the show today. Mm-hmm. If this is your first time, welcome. This is Being Mindful. You can always listen to playback on the PHBC Radio app. If you don't have it, yes, go down to your app store and download that right away. So thank you for joining us. Join us again on the 12th of February as we bring you part two of this show, Managing Our Emotions. And as we always say at the end of every show, take care of yourselves and each other. God bless you.